The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International.
God gave us goodness. God gave us perfection. God gave us great blessing. And we chose to try to be like God. And we ruined it. We've ruined it ever since. And then we blame God for it. Right. And we're doing it now.
Join Kathy Lee Gifford as she explores the interwoven lives of King Herod and Mary, Mother of Jesus, next on Life Today.
Welcome to Life Today. I'm Randy Robinson. Tammy's with me, and we're so excited.
Yeah.
We have someone that I know our audience absolutely loves, and we're excited to have her back. Kathy Lee Gifford is with us. She has a new book called Herod and Mary, and that's not two people you put together typically. What is that about? Well, we're going to find out, and I know you're excited to get to talk to your neighbor.
Yes. I found out we both live in Tennessee. I'm in Brentwood. She's in Franklin. And I read the entire book, Randy. I walked away learning things I didn't even know I needed to know. But that's what's so great about this book. So much great stuff.
Well, let's welcome Kathy Lee.
Well,
Kathy,
good to Tammy, see you. Nice to meet you. I've met Randy before, but I want to thank you. You know, we put a lot of work into the books that with other people. You know, it's just, we're very, very careful to do the research and to be faithful.
Yeah. What I loved about it is your depth, the knowledge of the word, your pursuit of truth, and things that I thought that I knew, even about Herod, I just didn't know. So, I mean, why was it so important for you to write this book about Herod and Mary?
Well, you know, it's a series of new books, and we're hopefully that it'll do well enough that we can do maybe 10 of them, because we think everybody's talking about so much today about the evil in the world. There's so much more evil in the world. And I go, actually, you guys know evil has been in the world since the Garden of Eden.
That's right.
You know, it just has been. There just was no cable news network then. And, you know, but what's also been ancient evil, what's always been true as well is that there's been living hope right next to it.
Yes.
Living hope. So that's the series name, Ancient Evil, Living Hope. The first one is about Herod, who called himself the King of the Jews. He wasn't even a Jew. And the Jews hated him. and then Living Hope is Mary. So because just at the time, as you know, because you've read the book, just as Herod's unbelievable evil life was coming to an end, he was just, he was going around his palace in Jericho going, Mariamne, Mariamne, the only woman he had ever truly loved in his whole life. And he'd murdered her.
Yep.
He murdered almost everybody in his family and anybody that was his enemy politically.
Yeah.
And I didn't know that about him. And then juxtapose that with the birth of Mary, going this beautiful, beautiful, elegant, godly, pure woman going down to give birth to the Messiah. I mean, there's no greater honor anybody has ever been given in all of history than was given to Mary to bring the Messiah into the world. And, you know, and what did she say? Let it be unto me as you have said.
Yes.
That's such a message for all of us today in life. You know, because the Lord's asking stuff of us right now today, too. Every one of us who call ourselves believers. I want to be able to say every single day what Mary said. Let it be unto me, Lord, as it is.
Wow.
As you know?
Absolutely.
So anyway, I loved the idea, and it truly was my son's idea, of mom living. When I went to Israel and learned about Herod, I had only known a few little things about him from the scriptures. There's very little.
Yes, that's right.
But when I got there and I started studying, I said, oh my gosh, if Jesus is the greatest story ever told, which we all know he is, then Herod is the greatest story never told.
Yes, it was.
You know, Kathy Lee, it's easy for us to just curse the darkness. But Jesus called himself the light of the world. And if we want to battle this evil, we have to hold up the light, as you know. What is it about Mary that you connect with that touches you so deeply? Because obviously you feel some sort of connection there.
Well, I think everybody feels a connection to Mary. You know, it's probably, she was probably about 13 or 14 years old when the Holy Spirit came upon her. I was that age when I asked Jesus into my heart in a movie theater in Annapolis, Maryland, watching a movie that Billy Graham's organization had put out called The Restless Ones. And I knew that Jesus spoke so clearly to me, said, Kathy, I love you. I love you. And if you will trust me, I will make something beautiful out of your life.
Amen, amen.
And so it's really the same thing. Mm-hmm. The angel came to Mary and said, if you will trust Jesus, if you will trust God, he will make something beautiful and magnificent. The Magnificat, you know, that's what she wrote, out of your life. And I think as a young woman, I just always related to the fact that what would I have said to the angel? What would my response have been? I'd like to think I would say what Mary said. How could this be? First of all, how could it be? She was a virgin. She'd never, ever been with a man. I was too when I was that age. You know, there's an innocence about you. There's just you don't know what all that's all about. You just know that God wants you to be a woman who trusts him. You know, I mean, look at the women who later in life, after, you know, living very, very hard lives, Mary Magdalene, seven demons, all the prostitutes, all these women were certainly not virgins, but the beauty of their story is that they met Jesus.
Yes.
And Jesus saw them as pure. Jesus saw them as wrapped in a robe of righteousness.
Yes.
Jesus he saw them as beautiful, beautiful creations of Father God, you know? And that's why women responded to Jesus like they did. Women had never been treated equally in culture, and they still aren't all around the world still. But back then, they were just considered like maybe a third, maybe two-thirds of a man. They just depended on where they lived. They were never considered full and you know, valuable creatures made in the image of God at all. Mm-hmm. And here comes Jesus. Here comes Jesus. And he knows their names. Mm-hmm. Don't you love that the first person he saw when he came from the tomb and Mary Magdalene did not recognize him at the tomb because it was early. And she said, where have you taken my Lord? I will tell me where you've taken. I will come and, you know, and all he had to do, you guys, I think it's my favorite scripture in the whole Bible. She's saying, tell me where my Lord is and I will come and take him away. And he said, Mary. He said her name. Instantly, she knew it was Jesus because she had heard him so many times say her name. It was such a love. This woman had probably been abused by 100 men, 1,000 men, who knows, all her life. You know, demons tormenting her. And Jesus just says, Mary. It's just the most beautiful scripture in the whole Bible to me. Because that's what he says to me when I'm hurting. That's what he says to you, Randy and Tammy. That's what he says to all of us.
Yes.
He knows us by name.
Yes. I think that's the greatest gift, Kathy Lee, to me too. When you talk, I can feel the same emotion, because I think no matter what I've gone through in life, to know that I'm seen, that my life matters, what I've gone through matters, the details of my life, the good and the bad, the ups and the down, I'm never abandoned, that God is walking everything out with me, I think is the greatest gift, to think that you could hear the voice of God.
He's a personal
yes.
God.
He is
He's
a personal God. Yes, he is, and he cares
and
so much.
And people don't know that, and it just, it makes, it breaks my heart I've tried to spend my whole life in what my ministry has been in the entertainment world, but it was always my mission field.
Yeah.
And it was my mission was always tell people that God loves them. Mm-hmm. You know, entertain them, make them laugh. You can be bawdy, you can be silly, you can be all these things, but make sure people know that I love them, Kathy.
Yes.
And that's nothing else matters, you guys. Nothing else matters.
You know, one of the questions that people ask is, if God is a good God, how could he allow such evil in our world? And you know, you're contrasting the evil with the hope. What do you see and what do you say to those who look around the world today and they think, you know, where's God? If God's here, where is he? Because
I understand the question, and I've asked it myself just recently. Believe me, it never gets old. Here's the thing. God never wanted us to know evil in the world. Mm. He created a garden for us. He created perfection for us and put us there to love each other and to have communication and with him. He wanted to walk with us in the garden. He wanted to see what we were going to build. He wanted to see what we were going to name the animals. He wanted community with us. We're the ones that created the evil that's in the world today. Don't blame it on God. God gave us perfection and we made it into a slum. Mm. It's our fault. And it's our fault individually, and it's our fault collectively. And when people blame God, I just go, what did God ever do to you? I will not let anybody ever get away with that. That's just so easy. So you can say, well, I don't believe in God because he wouldn't do that. No, he didn't do that. We did.
Yeah, yeah. And he went through extraordinary lengths to bring salvation to us. And one thing I appreciate and really love about, you know, your work, the rabbinic learning, the context, the place, right, the culture, it was an amazing thing to see the setup for Christ and the way that even Rome, which was awful, God was able to turn that for good, to use it to just basically pave the way for Christ and then for Christianity to go forth. What do you see when you look at Rome and sort of its impact on the gospel?
Well, because Rome was the center of the universe to humankind at the time, but it wasn't the center of God's universe. You know, I just have always been fascinated by history. I love history, and when I really get down into the weeds of history, like with Herod. And we're book is going to be about Nero. And you know, basically the story is nothing's changed. God gave us goodness. God gave us perfection. God gave us great blessing. And we chose to try to be like God. And we ruined it. We've ruined it ever since. And then we blame God for it.
Right.
And we're doing it now. You know, we're just doing it now. And so Rome is no different than America is today. We've got everybody all over the world, and none of them know Jesus. None of them know God. Wow. And they're all trying to be God. Mm. All of them. And they can't be, and they never will be. Mm-mm. But the point of our book is that ancient evil is the same as present day evil. Oh, it's there.
Yes.
But what's most exciting thing is that, but living hope, our living hope. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life.
Amen.
No one comes unto the Father except through me. And I know a lot of my people, my friends who are not believers will say, well, that's so intolerant. What do you mean? Well, you mean that I said, people don't understand that when Jesus said that, that's the best news in the whole world. If you're going to have the one person who's there to make sure you get into paradise, okay? Hang with me here. What if it's Jesus? He's the only one out of all these so-called gods and religions and everything else. He's the only one who came, gave up glory and died for you. Suffered in the most agonizing death you could have at that time. Was crucifixion. And people don't even know. You learn from my book that crucifixion back at the times of Jesus was not done on a hill where you saw some people hanging from crosses. No, it was at eye level, eye level on the road where everybody could see how you were suffering. And you were naked. You didn't have the thing around you that you see in pictures. No, you were stark naked. So you were shamed to begin with. And then you were right here so that people could look at your suffering. And you could basically tell them by your suffering, don't mess with Rome.
Yes.
This is what happened to you.
That's right. Can I ask you something? Okay, so I read your book and I have my own takeaway, which is what you talked about. I even wrote it down, and I'm so glad I read it. Truly, I got through chapter 1, 2, and 3, and I'm telling you, I had to look at Siri and talk into my phone so many times and say, pronounce this word for me or tell me where this place is. I mean, there was so much history there that I felt like I was learning along the way. So by chapter 4, I was all in. And so I think about when people were passing by this book, looking at Herod and Mary, and they're contemplating whether or not they want to read this book. What do you hope that readers will take away when they turn that last page?
Well, I was just doing the audio version of the book a couple of weeks ago. And when I got to the end of it, I was sobbing, sobbing. You know the scene I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. And I just went, I just couldn't get through it. I could not get through it. It took me a long time. And I remember thinking, Jesus, I hope that when people get to the end of this book, they will have the hope. Mm-hmm. They will have the hope that the man on the cross who had been crucified. It ends with a scene between Mary and somebody being crucified. Mm. And Mary's coming back from Egypt when Herod had died, this horrible death that Herod deserved. Mm. Jesus did not deserve the death he died from. Mm. But Mary has an interaction with somebody that's right like this to her. I can't tell the end, but because she feels Jesus stirring under her cloak because they're going back to Nazareth. The same angel had come and said, it's safe. The men who were trying to kill him are dead.
Yes.
Go home.
Yep.
You know the scene I'm talking about. And so the ending of it is so profound, and that's what I want everybody to get to the end of it, because you will realize if there is hope for that man hanging in on a cross, dying an agonizing death, if there's hope for him, there's hope for anybody.
Amen. Amen.
Mm. We want to put this book in your hands if you would like it, Herod and Mary. We will tell you how to get that when you support our outreach today. But I have to say real quickly, if you don't know this Christ that we're talking about, stop right now. We have a telephone number. We'll put it on the screen here where you can call and talk to somebody and they will introduce you to our living hope, as Kathy Lee calls it, because Christ is the hope wherever you're at, whatever evil you have suffered, whatever difficulty you're facing, you need to know this living hope. So if you don't know Christ as your Savior, or if you just need some encouragement, call that prayer line.
Amen.
We want to pray with you.
Yes.
Now we're going to show you something, a situation, Tammy, that you know about where people are in desperate hope.
Yes.
And we can be the answer in that situation.
Yeah.
So will you watch this? And when you support this outreach to be that hope to someone, you can request Kathy Lee's book, Herod and Mary, and we'll send it to you today. Watch this.
Right now, people around the world are suffering the effects of a deadly poison. And there's little they can do to avoid it.
Yene,
The deadly poison of unsafe water takes a toll on every victim it touches. In the most tragic cases, the poison takes that which cannot be given back.
As I'm here with this little child, as precious as he is, he's probably between 2 and 3 years old, maybe 4. But you know, he may not make it past 5, 4 or 5, if he doesn't have the water that he needs. He has water, but it's contaminated. And so many more children like him all around the world, they need our help. Children like this, we want to see them grow up and have a chance in life. Let God touch your heart and let's help these precious children.
We talk a lot about the children and how vital it is to reach them. Precious little bodies can't process this kind of dirty, unclean, contaminated water. And then in a story like that, it just, like the wind is knocked out of me when I see this precious little family of children talking about losing their mother. This deadly, contaminated, poisonous water is affecting the entire family. Not only are they losing children in these villages, but they're losing their parents also. I just can't imagine what that must feel like. To have to live, especially without your mother. My mom means so much to me. And I just can't imagine the pain that that must bring these little children. And so when I sit here today to share my heart with you, and together we're watching that story, I just think, God, what can I do? What can we do as your people, as people of God? What can we do to help bring hope when we see a need in front of us? There is a need right now in front of us today, and it is urgent for these children and for their parents and for hundreds of thousands just like them. Today is the day to take action, to bring change, to be the hope for these families and these children so that they can thrive and live and survive and flourish. Randy, I love being a part of that. We know that there's a solution. We couldn't sit here and watch story after story like this every day and not find some kind of settle in our soul if we didn't know that there was a way to help these people.
Absolutely, and it is tragic. And you see whole families being devastated, as Tammy pointed out, because every time any of them takes a drink of water, they're gambling with their lives. Some of them, they try to filter it. They are doing all that they can. Mm-hmm. That's the bottom line. You need to know that. Mm-hmm. These people are doing all they can to not die from the water. But it's not gonna, it just doesn't work. But you and I can stop that cycle. Mm-hmm. Here's my question for you. Are you doing all that you can to stop the death? Are we doing, this is what we ask here, are we doing all we can? You know, 350 wells across 20 nations sounds like a lot, but when you're that child who's lost your mother, it's not enough. So I want us to do all that we can to stop the death cycle. $4,800 is the average cost. That basically will drill one well. Listen, if you can drill one well today, maybe two, maybe three, do it. You will be giving water with each well to an average of 1,000 people. Now, if you can't drill a whole well, I completely understand. That's why you can come together with others and give $144 for 30 people, $48 for 10 people. It only works when we come together. Tammy?
Yeah.
You and I, the viewers, the missionaries in the field, we have to come together and stop the death. Will you do your part? Will you go online, go to the phone, make the best gift you can? We can do more we can save lives. You and I together can give them water for life.
Every day, thousands of lives are lost to a waterborne disease, and nearly half of those are children under the age of five. Through Mission Water for Life, now in its 25th year, you can give mothers hope and children a future as we provide clean, life-giving water for thousands of children and their families before it's too late. With your gift today, you can help drill and establish 350 water wells this year. Your gift of $24 will help provide clean water for five children. A gift of $48 will help provide for 10, and $144 will help provide life-giving water for 30 people for a lifetime. With a gift of any amount, we'll send you the God's Word for My Day devotional set. These four seasonal devotionals each contain a daily reading, an encouraging verse, and a thought to ponder for each day of the year. With your gift of $100 or more, you may request the His Word is Life tumbler set. These two 20-ounce stainless steel tumblers, each inscribed with a scripture, will inspire you throughout the day and help keep your drinks well insulated while at home or on the go. Finally, please consider a gift of $1,200 to help provide water for 250 people, or a gift of $4,800 to help sponsor a complete well, and request our beautiful bronze sculpture, A Cup of Water. Please call, write, or make your gift online.
You can give that gift of hope, living hope, today. I hope you'll go online or go to the phone, make the best gift you can, and be sure to request Herod and Mary if you would like that. And Kathy Lee, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you. Thank you, guys. Bless you, bless you, bless you.
Yes, we loved it. Thank you so much for watching, and we'll see you next time on Life Today.
Introducing the all-new LifeToday.org. Dive into your favorite Life Today programs, explore impactful ministry outreaches, and discover life-changing spiritual resources, all in one place. Plus, it's easier than ever to support our mission with seamless donation options. Never miss a moment to get connected, get inspired, and get involved. Anytime, anywhere, Life Today is always on. Visit the new LifeToday.org and experience the best of life.
Singer-songwriter Olivia Lane took a dark turn when she lost her voice and felt like she lost herself. Atheist to Amen Tomorrow. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.